You're listening to Stone Church. Now join us for this week's message.
Open your Bibles with me. You're not getting out of here without a word, so get over it. You're like, is he done? Are we done? No, you're not done. Stand up. Open your Bibles to Matthew 15. Pastor John Marlene, thank you so much. You have me in tears. I told John before service that if my parents had a choice, I would have been a foster child. I was a handful. Amen. I want to talk to you about faith wars this morning. Amen. Because we cannot do anything without faith. Amen. Faith is, it is my mantra in my preaching. Faith is all you have to bring to the table in Christ is faith. That's it. You have to believe God for salvation. You have to believe God for forgiveness. You have to believe God for the miraculous. You have to believe God to overcome. You have to believe God for grace. You have to believe God or you won't enter in. Say, I need faith. Faith wars, winning the war for faith against me, myself, and I. You are the biggest problem you have. Turn this on and tell him he's talking to you. Matthew 15, verse 21. All right, that's all you need to say. You don't have to just... I hear some people like, yeah, he's talking to you. And then I hear all the other, yeah, and another thing. It's like, all right, all right. Verse 21. Where am I? No, verse 15, 21. I'm sorry. Wrong chapter. I'll be with you in a minute. Just sit tight. Talking about the Canaanite woman. We're familiar with this story. I will be as brief as possible. That doesn't mean anything. That means nothing. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. If you remember Tyre, the great Satan passage, God eventually destroyed them and Sidon. Matthew 15:22, and a Canaanite woman, say Canaanite. From the region came out and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon possessed. But he did not answer her a word. He completely ignored her. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away because she keeps shouting at us. But he answered and said, I was sent only, say only, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and began to bow down, say bow down, before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord God, for your word. I pray that you anoint your speaker this morning, Lord God. I pray that you would speak to us prophetically in the Spirit, Lord God, that you would just ignite something new in us, Lord God, to pursue you and love you, to get real with where we are and who we are, Father God, and that we would understand that you alone are the rule maker and you're the only one that matters. We live for an audience of one. God bless your word. We thank you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. Say faith. There's one thing the devil wants to destroy in your life. It's faith. And the person he's going to use to do it is going to be you. I went through Teen Challenge in 1999. I was a crack addict. I lost everything. I had a brilliant career in the arts. I lost everything, ended up in the streets. I had two cars repossessed that were brand new. I lost my home. I lost everything. And I went through Teen Challenge, a wonderful pastor got me into Teen Challenge. It's a year-long discipleship program for those of you who don't know what it is. And I went in absolutely beaten up and destroyed. I went through the program for a year. And at the end of that year, I befriended two very wealthy, powerful families. One of them started Michigan Office Solutions, which was bought out by Icon Corporation for $196 million. And another one was just a very powerful family that owned a company called Dynatech Corporation. And these two families began to speak to me. They really liked me. They said, listen, You need a life in corporate America. Your dad was the CEO. You understand the culture. Let us help you. So I did. And as a result, I ignored the call that God put on my life to go into ministry. When I graduated, I took a job at Icon Corporation. And in 8 weeks, it was a total disaster. I lost everything again. I turned in my computer. I was a full-blown. In 8 weeks, I fell flat on my face. But there was something incredible that happened at the end of that 8 weeks. I called Teen Challenge and I said, listen, I need to come back in and do a reentry. I was running the program when I left. I was men's director when I left. We had 100 students in the program. I had a staff of 16. They all thought that, oh, Adrian's going to, he's going to take the kingdom by storm. And I fell flat on my face. And I came back on a Thursday night and I was so high I could barely see straight. And on the way there, on the way back to the center, I started yelling at myself. And I said, I just started yelling at me and I said, Adrian Thorne, this is the last time you will ever do this to me. If there's anyone in the world that I will never trust again with my faith and with my life, it is you. I am done with you. And I took on the George Costanza philosophy of life. You guys remember Seinfeld? Remember when George Costanza got a job working for the Yankees? And Jerry comes in one day and goes, George, how did you get this job? Because George was a loser, right? Everything he did was wrong. And he said, Jerry, it's amazing. He said, I had this revelation one day that everything I've ever decided to do was wrong. So what I started doing was making decisions and then doing the exact opposite. And here I am working for Steinbrenner. Some of you need to start living like that in your faith. Amen? Listen, it is a battle against me, myself, and I. This woman was put to the test in this story. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It is how we get saved. It's how we bring the kingdom. Faith is the evidence of what I'm believing for is on its way. Whether it's healing or whatever it is that I need. Amen? You need faith. You have to stand in faith and trust God. You have to trust Him. So how do we win this war of faith? Number one, turn this on, tell Him, keep it real. Look at verse 22. The Canaanite woman from the region came out and began to cry out saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. We looked at this last week with Bartimaeus, you remember? My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed, but he did not answer her a word. He didn't answer her a word because she was being dishonest about who she was. Maybe she heard Bartimaeus use this term. This was a Canaanite woman. I'm going to get into that in a moment. This was the lowest of the Gentiles or the non-Jews. This woman, they were referred to as dogs by the Jews. I'm going to talk about that as well. And Jesus absolutely ignores her because she was being dishonest about where she was and who she was. She had the audacity to appeal to Jesus with a Hebraic title. Remember Bartimaeus said, Jesus, son of David, and Jesus stopped. Here, Jesus absolutely ignored her. Why? Because this Canaanite Gentile was trying to use terminology in a title that she had no right to use. She was a Gentile. She was a Canaanite. She was idolatrous. She was dirty when it came to the law. And so Jesus absolutely ignored her because she was trying to call out on promises that were not hers. The term son of David, we talked about last week when we talked about Bartimaeus, was a term of entitlement for the Jews. It showed that they were heirs of the promises and the covenants of God under the Old Testament law or of the Torah. And so Jesus absolutely ignored her because she tried to lay claims and rights on a title that were not hers to claim, not yet. The Gentiles weren't in the picture until Acts chapter 10. She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't worthy of the law. She had no claim on Jesus as the son of David. And Jesus absolutely ignored her. Why? Because she was pretending to be in a place that she wasn't. She was pretending that she was in with God in a way that she was not. And Jesus wanted her to get real and drop the facade. Turn to someone and tell them, drop your facade. You know, sometimes Jesus wants you to get real about where you really are spiritually. Because faith cannot operate without honesty and transparency. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to believe God, and to believe God and to believe that He is good and that He's a rewarder of those who pursue Him. Amen? He's a rewarder of those who pursue Him. But if you are not honest about where you are, you're not trusting God. If you can't be honest and transparent with Christ about where you are and where you're not spiritually, you cannot operate in faith, because faith operates in transparency and love and trust. Faith can only work where there is authentic trust in God. Amen? While Jesus wants to answer prayers, He wants to minister, He wants to move you forward, truth and honesty is the premise the faith works on. So you can't pursue God and not be real with Him. You can't pursue God and not put trust in Him and then believe that you're going to have faith to stand in Christ. And God was trying to bring this woman along and help her. If God ended up answering you, I mean, think about that. If you live this whole religious facade, and you never really get real with God about who you are and where you are, and Jesus begins to answer your prayers, all He's doing is reaffirming a lie in your life. We need to get to a place where we trust Christ with who we are. Amen? He wants you to know that belonging to Him and coming to Him in trust and transparency shows greater faith than appealing to Him in borrowed vernacular and falsehood. You have to trust the Lord to see God move in your life. The question is, do you trust Him enough to be compassionate to you the way He promised He would be? Look at this passage in Luke chapter 18. Here's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself: God, I thank You that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Jesus goes on to say in verse 14, I tell you that this man went to his house justified rather than the other. You cannot stand in faith if you cannot trust God with who you are and where you are. Amen. Look at this quote. To the degree that you trust Christ with who you are is the degree to which you will trust Him to answer your needs. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, because you must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. Matthew 21:21, God's had this passage on my heart for weeks now, where Jesus says, if you'll believe in your heart and do not doubt. I'm like, Lord, that is a tall order, to believe in You and do not doubt. And when we read that, what we think, what we start doing is we start saying, you know what, I'm not going to doubt, I'm not going to doubt, I'm not going to doubt. I believe God can, I believe God can. But it's deeper than that. To really not doubt in God, you have to know God. You have to be in the place where you trust Him with your most intimate, ugly secrets. Where you bring Him everything and lay it wide open. Here's who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm struggling with. Instead, like the Canaanite woman, we use borrowed vernacular. We pray like people we hear pray. We try to lay claim on promises that we really don't believe in. We try to pretend something that we're something when we're absolutely not. And God ignores us, because He's trying to draw you into a place of intimacy with Him. Because intimacy is where faith is. I cannot have faith in my wife if I do not trust her. I cannot have faith in my board if I do not trust them. They cannot have faith in me if they cannot trust me. Do you understand? Faith stands in truth and transparency and honesty. We get caught up in this religious facade, and that's what this woman was doing. And Jesus was like, man, I'm going to bring you along, sweetheart, but you got to get real with where you are and who you are and who you ain't, because you ain't no Jew. You are certainly not under Torah. You have no rights to the covenants and promises of my children. Not yet you don't. So let's start there. Let's get real with that. And then things began to change. And she began to realize as she drew closer to the Lord, because this woman wasn't backing up. She began to sense and understand that He was the rule maker. Turn to someone and tell them, remember, He's the rule maker. Look at verse 23. He did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and implored to Him, saying, send her away because she keeps shouting at us. I love this woman. I love this woman. I bet when we get to heaven, I will find she's related to me somehow. I mean, they basically told the Lord, like, get rid of her because she's driving us crazy. You're God. Can't you just call fire down or open the ground like you used to do? But look at this. Verse 24. But He answered and He said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Say rule. He set a precedence. The Gentiles, non-Jews, didn't come into salvation until the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. But look what she did. But she came and began to bow down. Say bow down. She began to bow down before Him saying, Lord, help me. Listen, she began to get real. She started understanding what He was talking about. Because the name Canaan means to stoop, to bow. To bow down, to be a servant of. And He called her out and He said, basically, listen, you have no right to that title, to that phrase. You have no promises yet in the promises of Israel. He was kind of letting her know you're a Canaanite. And she began to get real. She started understanding what He was saying. The Bible says she stooped. She bowed to Him because her name, her ethnic background meant to bow, to stoop. Because God cursed Canaan and He said, you will be called Canaan. You will bow down and be servant to all. You see what's happening here? I'll talk about that more in a second. She began to understand what Jesus was saying. But He made it very clear to her. He said, listen, I am not called to the Gentiles yet. I'm called to the house of Israel. He began to refute her. Verse 24. In Matthew 10, verse 5. Look at the screen. When He sent the 12 out, He sent them out. And these 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles. And do not enter any city of the Samaritans. Those were half-breeds. They were half-Jew, half-Gentile. But rather go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. God made this rule. God made this rule. This wasn't some rule created by a man. This was verbiage that came out of the mouth of God. The same mouth that created the worlds and spoke Adam and Eve into existence. The stars, hung the stars by His wisdom and understanding. This was not like just some little thing He said. Say rule. Jesus set the rule of salvation. And He told this woman, I'm not here for you. I'm not here for you. There were rules about His mission. The same rules and commands that He gave the 12 when He sent them out and the 70 when He sent them out. Here's the objective. No Gentiles. No half-breeds. Only Israel. The day's coming for them. But I am sent. I want you to get that in your spirit, how deep this is. He said, I am sent. This isn't like me saying, well, I'm supposed to go get a loaf of bread for my wife, but maybe I'll stop and hit a bucket of balls. Or maybe I'm on my way somewhere and I pick someone else up and say, well, I got to go to the office, but you know what? I could do this instead right now. This is God laying down a rule. Say rule. She could have accepted what he said. But somewhere along the line, she heard enough. She knew enough that she knew that this was the rule maker. And she continued to pursue him. Listen to me. If faith could redirect God's rules, I believe God will break the back of this world to position and bless His children when we pursue Him in faith. I believe it. I'm convinced of it. I'm proof of it. He is the rule maker. And some of us need to just close our ears and quit believing all the lies and all the nonsense. Quit being afraid. Quit doubting. Quit doubting if He loves me or wants the best for me or wants to move me forward or wants to heal me or wants to set me free. There is no ruler like the rule maker. That's it. Faith is how God changes opportunities missed and redirects our destiny. Look at this. Look how deep this is. Look at Matthew 8:11. Israel was destined for salvation, right? They were the heirs of the promises of God and all of His covenants and all the blessings. Matthew 8:11. Do I have that up there? Well, get on it, cowboy. Oh, it's down there. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't separate that for you. Look at this. I wanted to make it hard for you. It's like Find Waldo, right? Find Matthew 8:11. When you have it, raise your hand. So I say to you that many will come from the east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, the father of Israel's faith, the father of our faith, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What Jesus was telling Israel is, listen to me. You have all the promises. You have all the covenants. You have all my presence. You have all the blessing. You have everything I've given to anyone. But you're missing it because you do not have faith in my goodness. And at the same time, the Gentiles were destined for destruction, but we're saved through faith in Christ. Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel pursuing the law of righteousness did not arrive at the law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith. God will break His own rules. He'll change everything. When there's faith in someone pursuing Him and coming to Him, it pleases Him. It excites Him. It gets Him roused up. Oh, I've not seen faith like this, not in all of Israel. He loves faith. It moves Him because you're telling God, I'm trusting You with who I am, everything. Everything that I am, everything that they don't see, Lord. All the ugly, all the nasty, all the carnal, You get it all. Ta-da. Faith gives you a future. Because no matter why you believe your future is dismal, and listen, there are people I know, their future is dismal. We talked about some of them today. But when Christ shows up, He is the rule maker. It changes everything. It changes direction. It changes destiny. It changes hope. It changes life. It heals scars. It heals wounds. Let the rule maker make rules for you. Amen? And the biggest thing the Lord had to teach this woman was to leave yesterday and yesterday. You cannot grasp the magnitude of the ugliness of these next couple passages unless you study this. And it makes you kind of tilt your head and wonder, wow, Lord, what were You trying to do? I'm going to show it to you. This was this woman's hardest test. Verse 26, are you there? So he answers her. He says it's not good or lawful to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. But even the dogs feed on the crumbs of the table, which fall from the master's table. And then Jesus said to her, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. This woman was a Canaanite. And to use the vernacular of the word dog to a Canaanite from a Jew, just let the nastiest, ugliest racial slur that you could think of pop into your head right now. Because that is exactly what he said. Men died because they were called dogs. She was a Canaanite. She's getting real now. She said, yes, Lord, I am. In the Old Testament, the Canaanites were the worst of the Gentiles. They were comprised of six tribes: the Hittites, the Hivites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites. And they were cursed by God for the sin of Noah's youngest son, Ham. Look at the screen. Now, I want you to understand this, because if you're walking around in your life with a stigma or because of something in your past that you can't get over, I want you to understand that Jesus walked this woman face to face to the ugliest moment in heritage a person can have at that time. Genesis 9:21. We're reading the story of Noah. He drank of the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, and also the creator of the wonderful lunch meat, the father of Canaan, say Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Now, in Hebrew theology, I'm going to teach this a little bit differently. Because we all say, oh, because he was cursed because he saw his father's nakedness. That's not why he was cursed. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and walked backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. So basically, Ham walks in, saw his father's nakedness. I'll explain that in a minute. And then his brothers, Shem and Japheth, came in. They put a blanket and walked backwards to hide the nakedness of their father. And their faces were turned away so they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done. Say done to him. So he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brothers. That's the word Canaan. Stoop, bow, to be underneath. He also said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem and Canaan, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. In Hebrew theology, they believed that when Ham came in, he raped his father. They saw men naked all the time. Come on, seriously? Do we still believe that? We teach that all the time. It's insanity. They were naked all the time. Men bathed together. This was an ancient culture. They weren't priests. They didn't walk around floating on the water. When Noah woke up, he knew what his father had done to him. In the Hebrew theology, most of the great Jewish theologians believe that he was raped. Now listen, we could argue about that one way or the other. The bottom line is this: Canaan was cursed. Not only were they cursed, I want you to get this. This woman is pursuing a God and trying to beseech a Messiah that was sent by the God that ordered the annihilation of every tribe I just mentioned. By all rights, this woman should have never even been alive if Israel was obedient to God. You want to talk about a stigma? We get offended in church because someone doesn't say hello to us. We get offended in church because Pastor might call us to repent or preach a little hard. We get so offended. This woman is pursuing a God who literally ordered the death of all her ancestors. Because she was cursed because of a filthy act of Ham. Cursed not by man. Cursed by God. For real cursed. And yet she pursued Him. She pursued Him because she knew and believed and sensed that there was something greater in this one. You know, it's amazing. She doesn't quit. She bows down. She cries all the more. She says, "Yes, Lord, You're right. You're right, I am. I am Canaan. I am under that curse. I am. But please help me." She said, "You don't understand, You're a dog." She says, "I am. I own it. I know who my ancestors were. I know the sin that is upon my life. I am a dog. I am. I am." She kept coming. "Please help me. Please help me. You're the only one that has the answer." She bowed down. She confessed. She said yes. She got as real as she can get. She got as transparent as she can get. She knew exactly what He was talking about. Jesus wants you to understand that your past will never be a player in God's present. Not ever. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how many times you've done it. Now listen, here's what is amazing to me about this part. It's not so much that this woman had the audacity and the faith to keep pursuing Him in the light and face of all these obstacles. You know why I believe Jesus did this with her? Because I believe this was the one stigma. I believe this was the one thing that she had to get over. Because if she didn't get over that and she didn't understand that God's goodness was greater than her past, she would never make it. I don't believe He was being cruel. I believe He was trying to bring her to a place where she could drink of the living waters freely and with a clear conscience. And what's so amazing about this part of the story isn't that she had this audacious faith. It's that God allowed Himself to be caught by her words. What father in here hasn't had a child? And you're like, "Get daddy, catch daddy." They start running after you. You don't run out the door and be like, "Loser!" Who does that? Okay, I might have done it once or twice. I might have done it once or twice. What do? "Get daddy. Get daddy. Come on, get daddy." And you run just slow enough and they grab you and they're so happy. You pick them up and throw them. That's what He was doing here. All these obstacles. He's like, "Get daddy. Get daddy. Come on, You can get me. Don't stop." I believe every time He threw one of these objections out, He was sitting there praying in His heart, "Lord, help her. Help her see. Help her see why." Because she had to understand that she could trust God. God's heart for you is to overcome. His intentions towards you are holy and divine and right all the time. How can we believe and not doubt if we do not trust Him? How can we bring faith to the table if we do not believe in and trust the one that we have faith in with who we really are? Because in reality, we all live under that stigma. We're all sinners saved by grace. There's no one worthy. No, not one. And he's just running slow enough for us to catch him. Stand with me, please. If you can just bow your heads for a moment. I don't know if everyone in here knows the Lord. I don't really know where you all are. But I know that the day I surrendered my life to Christ fully is the day I won. I won Him. I won salvation. I won freedom. I won peace. And I won the ability to trust Him with all my shortcomings and all my ugliness and all my failures. And from getting real and just trusting in Him, faith was birthed in my heart to believe God for anything. Amen? Bow your heads for a moment. If you've never made Jesus your Lord, and you would say, Pastor, my heart is just ripping out of my chest, and I know God is calling me. Or maybe you've known the Lord, and you've just kind of strayed, and you're kind of doing your own thing right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would just acknowledge that by just putting your hand up and putting it down. It's just for you and the Lord. Just put it up and put it down. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else, just put it up and put it down. Amen. We're going to pray right now. And so I'm going to ask everyone to raise their hands as a sign of surrender. But listen to me. I'm not going to call you all down here. If you are being serious with the Lord right now and you are really surrendering it all, you need a church home. You need a church family. You cannot do this by yourself. When we're done, I want you to come up and talk to me. All right? Will you do that? And we're going to believe God. Everyone raise your hands and you're going to repeat this prayer after me. It's not a special prayer. There's no magic in it or anything. You're just going to pray it in faith, in absolute trust of the Lord. And you're going to give Him your heart. Repeat after me. Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. Open, transparent, and naked. I'm a sinner that needs a Savior. I know I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. But I know You love me. I know You died for me. And I know You resurrected to glorify me in Jesus' name. So today, I surrender it all. And I make You Lord of my life, of my future, and even my past. In Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that You bless Your children today. God, I thank You that You run slow enough that You let us catch You, Lord. You throw some heavy things in our direction sometimes, but God, You want us to overcome. You want us to move towards You. Father, encourage our faith. Strengthen our faith, God. Don't let anything stop us, Father. Not offense, not yesterday, not trials, not tribulation. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer, I'm going to hang out here for a few. I'd love to talk to you.